Well, I'm not Brother Hampton. I'm Max Stagner. We want to welcome you anyway to Grace Bible Church and our webcast. Welcome everyone who's come to study with us tonight here in the auditorium. I think Wayne might have wanted me to mention to y'all here and anyone else that might be interested in coming. We're having movie night Friday night, this coming Friday night. We're going to watch The Big Fish, which is a good family-type movie. And Wayne wants everyone to come that can, and he needs to know what you're going to bring for that movie night. Come in. Yeah, the movie, everyone come to eat about 6, and the movie will start at 7. That's Friday night. A few weeks ago, right after the holidays, I was asked to teach, and I had been studying a subject, and then did not finish really my thoughts on that subject the last time I taught, and I wanted to go back over, which is something we all know, but I wanted to lay it out again for us. It's something we hear often, and it has to do with this timeline that anyone that's ever studied with us has seen Barry and others draw this timeline out on the board, and it's really a picture of God's plan for those of us here on the earth and those that have been on the earth. It starts over here in eternity past, and the first we know about in the Bible is right here in Genesis 1. And the truth of the Bible is, Jesus Christ is from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And it's first mentioned, if you'll turn to Genesis 3:19, that's the first place in the Bible that Christ is mentioned. And it's after the fall. And God said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and she'll bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that's speaking of Jesus Christ and the devil. And God had a plan beginning here, from the foundation of the world, beginning here. He had a plan that was going to go way over here, eternity future. And so the timeline goes from eternity past to eternity future. And it, of course, begins for us in the book of Genesis. We begin to learn what all this means. And what we find out in the book of Genesis is that if we turn over to chapter 12 in Genesis, we see the beginning of a plan that God had that involved a people. And it's right here in Genesis, early on. Man was on the earth for quite some time, and there was no law, there was no writing. And in the book of Genesis, we see that God called a man during this time and chose him. His name was Abraham. And he told Abraham something. He made a promise to Abraham that we will know about and hear about all through time. And that's what this Bible is about. It's about that people that God chose. We'll read that verse here in a few, those verses in a few minutes, about the promise made to Abraham. And that's in chapter 12. If you'll turn there with me, we'll look at that real quick. "And now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee," and his name at that time was Abram, not Abraham, but his name was later changed. "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." A nation is a people. And it, for the most part, it has to do with a people that, when we're speaking here, it's a people that came from Abraham, his seed that came from Abraham. And he said he would curse them that curse thee and bless them that bless thee. That was a promise. He also later on in Genesis promised Abraham a land. And we'll talk more about that. But if we follow this people that came out of Abraham, we'll find them in Exodus 19:6. And God made another promise, Exodus 19:6, about with this nation. And it was a conditional promise. He said, "Now therefore, if ye," that's the people Israel, that is this nation that came out of Abraham, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and that is, we know now, is Israel. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So there's going to be a great nation. It was promised to Abraham. And out of that nation, one day, if they would follow God's commandments, would be a nation of priests, a kingdom, meaning that they're going to have a king, kingdom of priests. And that kingdom would, of course, have a king, because it's a kingdom. So I want to remind you again what Abraham was looking for. He was looking for this. He was looking for not only this promise of having his seed, this seed that was going to come from him, and all the nations of the world be blessed by him. But he also was promised something else, and that's in Hebrews 11. We get a description of it. And I'm going to move as fast as I can because it's a lot to get in our minds here. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith Abraham was he called to go into a place which he should and received for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange company, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, and that's the descendants of Abraham, and later became Israel. For he looked for a city with hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he was looking for a land or a city. And we're going to find out, I'm going to keep this in mind, this city is talked about way over here at the end of the Bible. This city that Abraham was looking for. So keep that in mind as we go through this. And this city has to do with this people, Israel, way over here. Okay? Now, let's to prove that to you real quickly, Revelation 21. Let's go there just real quick. First two verses, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." This holy city, New Jerusalem. Way over here. This time frame here. Abraham was looking for a city. It was promised to the people of Israel. Okay? What about this king? It's a kingdom. Well, what about the king? We heard about a person here in Genesis 3:19, early in the Bible. Okay, but who is this king? Who's going to be the king of this kingdom that God promised way over here? Look in Isaiah 7 real quickly. And around Christmas time, these verses in Isaiah and later in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read everywhere about this king. Let's look at Isaiah 7:13-14. And he said, "Hear ye, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to be weary, men, but will ye be weary, my God, also? But therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then, and you flip on over to Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David." Now, David come in over in here somewhere, but he's going to be, this king is going to be sitting on the throne of David. "And upon his kingdom to order it and establishment with justice, with judgment and justice, and henceforth forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now this king is going to sit on the throne of David. And we can assume, looking at Exodus, that this people Israel, this kingdom is going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Okay. Look at Micah. Ma'am? Exodus 19:6. Let's see if I can find Micah. What page is it on? Micah 4, just for another reference. Okay, well, let's look at Micah 5, just to make the point. It's also in Micah 4, 7, and 8, but look at Micah 4, and it talks about a ruler. "But thou, Bethlehem, thou wilt be a little one," that's where this ruler was born, in Bethlehem of Judea, "come forth unto thee, and to be a ruler in Israel, and the goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." This ruler is going to be born in Bethlehem, and he's going to rule in Jerusalem. And by the way, that's where this holy city is going to be, in Jerusalem. Remember, we read that. It's going to be in Jerusalem. This holy city that Abraham was looking for over here. And there's some other verses in Micah you can refer to. Micah 7:20. You might want to write that down. Okay. This ruler is foretold before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this ruler, this coming, is foretold. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's before Jesus Christ dies on the cross. Just before he dies on the cross. So, Israel, we know, they were looking for a ruler. Abraham had this promise. Israel had this promise. And it had to do with a land or a city. And by the way, if a description of the city is in, and we'll get to that later, description of the city is a land. I mean, it's 1,500 miles one way, 1,500 miles another way, 1,500 miles another way. It is a big place, this holy city. If we look at what the folks were looking for in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can get a hint of what that's all about, what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is all about. They're looking for these promises that are coming. And it has to do with blessings here on the earth. A land, a city, a ruler, a king that's going to take care of them. I mean, that's what it's all about. Look at Matthew 2:1-6. The Bible just flows when you divide it up. It just flows so smoothly. Okay, Matthew 2. Two, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." This must be the king. It was talked about over here in Isaiah, Micah. He's born in Bethlehem. And we've heard about that. If we've been here on this earth long enough and watched television, listened to the radio, we've heard about this king. Every Christmas time we hear about this king. And no one will disagree with you that this person, Jesus Christ, was the king. There's no argument about it in the Christian world that that is the king that was talked about way back over here up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in verse 5 of Matthew 2, it says, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." The prophet had written about this, that it would happen in Bethlehem, and we read that verse, that this king would be born in Bethlehem. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of it shall come a governor that shall rule my people." Who are these people then? Who can we conclude that these people are? Israel. So at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were looking for a king. That's what they were looking for. The shepherds, we know the story. And if we turn over to Luke 1:68, we get another glimpse of the thinking at that time. And this was Zacharias, who was a priest. And he said, and in verse 67, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." That's, remember, he's going to sit on David's throne. "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Okay, these prophets have been since the world began, and this story has been there since Genesis 3:19. Since the beginning of the world, really. In verse 71, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers," this promise to our fathers, "and to remember his holy covenant," that covenant with Abraham, covenant with the people of Israel. And it mentions it specifically here, "the oath which he sware to our father Abraham." Over here, we talked about that covenant for the city, the covenant that he was going to bless them that blessed his seed, curse them that cursed thee. That promise was still in effect right here. And that's what the people were thinking about. Look at Luke. Well, we just looked at Luke 1:68. Mark 1:14, that's another reference. "And after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching," Mark, I've gotten off track here, Mark 1:14-15. Now, Jesus Christ came here, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, he was the king. I mean, he fit what was prophesied over here, and in Matthew 14 and 15, we see this is after John the Baptist, and now after that John the Baptist was put in prison, we're going to get back to John the Baptist in a minute. But after John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, here's this person Jesus. This preaching about this kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And it has to do with this promise to Abraham about this holy city. It's one part of it. But the point I want to make to you is here we've got this promise here, and all of it doesn't take place to well over here. And where do we fit in that? We know that all this had to do with Israel. This kingdom had to do with Israel. They were going to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Where do we fit in? Where do we put ourselves in this timeline? And that's what this is about. Okay, we look at John and Christ's ministry. Christ was preaching, after John, Christ was preaching the kingdom program. Look at Matthew 3. And we see Matthew 3:1-3, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this was before Christ was baptized and before he went out to start preaching that same thing. the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It didn't, wasn't preaching anything about our situation. Our situation, we know, is we're Gentiles. We're not a part of the children of Israel. We're not a part of this kingdom. That's what they were preaching. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it was at hand right here. I mean, what else would you think if that's what they're preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, Matthew 10, 5 through 8, Christ selected 12 disciples. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we read about these disciples that he selected. There were 12 of them. Matthew 10. And this 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go not unto the way of the Gentiles. Uh-oh. That leaves us out. You know, I was just asking a while ago, where did we fit in all this? Right off, God, Christ is telling them, don't go to the Gentiles. And to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but no rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when I said in the beginning that this Bible is about Israel, all parts of it are talking about Israel, except for a small portion of that, of the Bible, is written to us. And that's what we need to try to identify in our study of the Bible. We need to study the whole Bible, but we need to find out where we fit in. The whole Bible. Well, I'll give you a little hint. The whole Bible from here to about Acts and from to through Philemon is about Israel. If you take all of this and all of this, it's primarily to Israel. And it's about Israel and for Israel. And I'll show you more about that. But right there he tells them, don't go to the Gentiles. It's not very encouraging when I read that. And what did he say, preach? He said in verse 7, and you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom now, we've been talking about the kingdom. And, of course, they use signs, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils freely. Ye have received, freely give. They were using these miracles as proof, as a sign from God. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look at Matthew 15, 22. I said it was to Gentiles. Well, did it really mean that? Did it really mean just go to the Gentiles? And you might know about the Syrophoenician woman. In verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thy son of David. Here's this man that's going to rule on David's throne. He's going to be a savior, a counselor, a governor. And here's a person, a Gentile, comes to him. She said, O thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. He didn't pay any attention to her. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know, we read about they were going to go to the Gentiles. In chapter 10, you know, they're going to the Gentiles. And in this chapter 15, we really see that they meant that. They didn't think too much of the Gentiles. Here's the Syrophoenician woman asking Jesus Christ for help. He pays her no attention. And said, I am not sent to you. In essence, that's what he said. I'm not sent to you. I was sent to the lost sheep of house of Israel. That's not very, you know, if you think about it, you never hear that. That Jesus Christ would say to someone, I wasn't sent to you. But you think there's, you know, most people say, well, that can't be true. Well, yes, it is true. That's what he said. I wasn't sent to you. I wasn't sent to the lost, anybody but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And if you study the Bible from here all the way up here to about Acts 9, that is a fact. It's about Israel. Israel's first. Now, if you don't learn anything else about in this little lesson, that's a fact. And here we are in Matthew, Jesus Christ telling him not and telling this woman, but she finally gave him his due. She worshiped him. She blessed him. And she recognized that Israel was superior to them. And she says this, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take children's bread and cast it to dogs. He called her a dog. Jesus Christ refers to this woman as a dog. But you know, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. Jesus Christ is following God's plan. Like, you know, why would he go against God's plan? This plan, way back over here, that was given to Abraham was about Israel. And that's, by George, that's what this is about. He's going to bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. This woman gives a form of a blessing here. She says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Israel is a master to the Gentiles. She recognizes that, and in that way blesses Israel. And Jesus then answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee thou as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole. Boy, that promise to Abraham was sure, wasn't it? And Jesus Christ proved it right there. And it doesn't change. That promise is still in effect. We'll see it all the way into Acts. That promise is still in effect. Christ came only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know, we're going to see over in Romans 15, we'll turn over there now, Paul confirms that. And by the way, Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. Paul, and I told you, this thing about Israel goes to Israel, goes, well, some of it's in Romans through Philemon, with the plan, if you rightly divide the word of truth, it's, all of this is Israel. All of this is Israel. On that timeline. Where did I say? Romans 15. Romans 15:8. And now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, that's Israel, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Now, Paul's telling us that Jesus Christ is a minister to the circumcision, and that's Israel, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Who were the fathers? Abraham was one of them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We read about the promises made in Exodus, confirming these promises. Main promise is the king coming. And that's what Christ went out telling people, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? In Matthew 27, Jesus Christ is crucified right here. And you know what they put up on his cross? In Matthew 27:29, King of the Jews. Was that a true statement or was it a false statement? They were making fun, weren't they? Here's the King of the Jews up on a cross dying. But was it a truth sign that was put up on that cross? Yeah, it was true. But you know, he didn't come down off that cross and rule. I mean, do we know that? Do you know that? Did he die? That king died. So, if you look at Matthew 28, verse 18. Well, where am I at? And this is just another thing after the cross, what he was telling the apostles to preach, disciples to preach. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me, heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. So Christ, after the cross, was teaching them to go into all nations and preach whatsoever he had commanded them over here, which was to the Jews. And we're going to prove that a little more in just a minute. Still to the Jews after his death. And if we look at Luke 22, Jesus Christ tells him, he's teaching his apostles, he's telling them things, and he says to them, and I appoint to you a kingdom, and my father has appointed me. And we know he was appointed to a kingdom because, you know, it's all through the Bible, all through prophecy here. He's appointed to Christ a kingdom. And Christ is telling these apostles, look, I'm appointing you a kingdom. And he tells them that ye shall, in verse 30, that ye shall eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And he's just sent these apostles out teaching. And this is what's in their mind, this kingdom. This kingdom is in, it can't help but be in their minds. They're going to sit on 12 thrones. Do you think if someone told you you were going to rule on a throne over the house, all the various houses of the people of Israel, you would forget that? If someone, this ruler who's going to rule the earth out of Jerusalem, he tells you, Jesus, they believed that he was the Christ. Peter said, I believe you're the Christ. You're the person. And he tells them, you're going to rule with me on 12 thrones. It's talking about a kingdom, isn't it? Can't help but be talking about a kingdom. Okay? Let's look at that some more. Look at Luke 24, 46 through 47. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. He's talking to the apostles. And behold, I send thee the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye endued with power from on high. Matthew 19:28. He's speaking to his apostles. Peter, look at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto them, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Here's Peter now saying, we've forsaken everything we have. What are we going to get? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye shall have, ye that which have followed me, in a regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. When this king is sitting on his throne, they're promised they're going to get to judge the children of Israel. They're going to sit on the throne. Is there anything about that, about what we're hearing here written to us? Are y'all going to rule on thrones? Is there anything in the Bible about that? Here the apostles only went to the Gentiles. Where does everybody get that there's something right in here to us? And let me tell you, it goes over into Acts. Over here into Acts. Let's look at it in Acts. Look at Acts 1. Christ has died on the cross. He's come back. He's risen from the dead, stayed on earth 3 days, 3 nights, and he rose from the dead. Where did I say? Acts 1? I can't find it. Come look at verse 6. And here they are in Jerusalem. You remember we read they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem? And here they are in Jerusalem waiting after Christ's death. And then Christ is there. And here's what the apostles asking. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Here are his apostles. They got this kingdom on their mind, haven't they? Is it obvious to y'all? This kingdom is on their mind. And you know, they're kind of selfish. They just like all of us. They want a little power. They want to be a part of something. They want to be a part of something big. They want to sit on those 12 thrones. That's what they want, right? That's what they're thinking about. Because Peter asked Christ, what's in it for us? We've forsaken everything. We're following you. What are we going to get? He tells them, you're going to rule on 12 thrones in my kingdom. And how people can get so wrapped up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and think there's something there for me. I don't get it. And here they are in Acts, way over here in Acts, looking for a kingdom. Is it obvious? Okay, let's go a little further. Look at Acts 2. Let's look at verse 14. And Peter's, this is after Christ has died. And this chapter 2 is where a lot of folks say the church began. In Acts 2. Now, here are the disciples in Acts 1 asking Christ about this kingdom. When is it going to happen? Is it fixing to happen right now? And he said, you don't need to know. But you know what I bet they thought? Well, it's got to be sometime pretty soon. In Acts 2, Peter stands up and he says, in verse, oh, let me see what verse it is. 14. Nope. Yeah, that's where it is. Where's the verse about him? Okay, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, they had accused the apostles of being drunk because they were speaking in tongues, I think, and ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known to you and hearken unto my words. Ye men of Judea, speaking to the Jews. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it be but the third hour for the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, what's going on here at this particular point in time was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Well, let's look over at Joel. Where's Joel? Okay, here it is. And it's just a few verses there. But look at verse 28 in chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and young men shall dream dreams, young men shall see visions, and upon the servants and upon the handmaids of those days I will pour out my spirit. That's what was happening there in Jerusalem in Acts 1 and 2. His spirit was being poured out. And they could speak in tongues, and all these things were happening. They could speak in all these languages. The people that were standing there could hear them in all the languages. And I will show wonders in the heavens and earth and blood and fire and pillars of smoke and so on. In verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. Okay, Peter's standing there saying, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He's talking about something in prophecy. And it's going to come out of Jerusalem. And where is this king going to rule? Jerusalem. Isn't that what we read? Okay. And then we go on down in verse 16. Do we read 16? Prophet Joel. Verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also knew. He's talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not and possible that he should be holding of it. And then in verse 36, until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Christ, the Messiah of Israel, the ruler, the king. That's who they were talking about, who Peter was talking about. And they said, what shall we do? This is the Christ, and he's crucified. We're a part of his crucifixion. We're responsible for his death. Peter said unto him, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing in here about anything but this king and this kingdom and what these folks had to do. What did John the Baptist do? He went about baptizing people because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It's going to be a kingdom of priests. What do priests? They get washings before they can be a priest. Christ was baptized because he was made a priest, the high priest. They're still baptizing. And those signs are still there. Okay. Verse 38, we read verse 38. For the promise is unto you, in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to all your children, to all that are far off, as many of the Lord our God shall call. And these folks heard this word, and were many added to the church, which was the kingdom church. Okay, look, and then Peter preached this sermon in Acts 2. Then he preaches another sermon in Acts 3 that we get a little clearer picture of what he was preaching. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets. How long? Since the world began. Peter was standing up in Acts 2 saying, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then in this gospel, so-called gospel message, he's saying it's going to come at the time of the restitution of all things. When Christ comes again, this Christ that was died on the cross and was buried, came back for a short period of time, and then he went up in Acts 2. In Acts 1, we can read about it. And they were looking up. And these angels came down to the disciples and told them, he's going to come back just the way you saw him leave, right to this very spot on the Mount of Olives. And then we later find out that this holy city, New Jerusalem, comes back down to that very spot. Well, that's another lesson. But in Acts 3, it's talking about a kingdom. I don't care what you say. He didn't mention anything about forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, but he didn't talk about Christ dying for anyone's sins on the cross. So it's still, and it's to the Jews, it's to the house of Israel. It's not to us. None of this is to us. So this house of Israel is going to be, it's going to be a part of a kingdom, a nation of priests. And it was, and it, all this was before the foundation of the world. And isn't that what Peter said? What did he say? Way back over here. All this was talked about, prophesied about, and it's a little bit funny to me that there's only a few of us that see this kingdom, the same kingdom that was promised to Abraham over here, this nation, all through here. Still talking about it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Christ died and still in Acts. The apostles saying, when are we going to get to rule in this kingdom with you, Jesus? And then Peter goes out and preaches this message about Christ coming back to be in this kingdom from Jerusalem. Okay. In Acts 9, we read a story about Paul, who was making habit with the church, these people that believe this kingdom message here, Paul was out making habit with them. In Acts 9, he is struck down by a vision from a bright light from heaven, and he receives a revelation from God. And then from that point, we learn how we fit in this program here. You know, you don't hear anything about the Gentiles except those Gentiles that are blessing Israel, and they're going to get a blessing, but they're not going to be a part of that kingdom. They're not going to be a part of, they're not going to be priests unless they convert to Jesus. That's another story. But Gentiles like me and you weren't a part of that. Okay, and let's look at what Paul said. He was struck down. He received this revelation in chapter 9. But what did he get that's too new? What is new? What is different from what was being preached over here that Paul got? We first hear about it in Acts. What time is it? I'm getting behind. In Acts 13. And Paul mentions this in verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior. According to his promise, which would be over here. And he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, in verse 26, whoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of the salvation sent. And here's what the new message was that Paul got. In verse 38, be it known to you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which could not be justified by the law of Moses. All this stuff over here was given to Israel, the law and all that. Paul had something new for them. Right here, something new. Acts 13. Acts 13. He was converted in that Acts 9, but the first time we hear about any part of his revelation is Acts 13. Okay, now Paul gives us further revelation to us if we read Paul in Romans 11. Real quickly. 25.
So is it accurate to say that
he was apparently saved in verse 9. You know, he got something here that caused him to call Jesus Lord. And most folks would say he was saved at that point. He believed that Jesus Christ was his only hope. Because he was a blasphemer, he had persecuted the church, and we would understand that he got what we later hear from him, how that he received something that he's given to us. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, the gospel that he received, the only place he could receive it was on or about chapter 9, and he tells us he knows about forgiveness of sins in chapter 13. In Romans 16, we find out that this mystery, and it's in chapter 25 through 20, in verses 25 through 6, that this is a mystery that had been kept secret since the world began. Now, the fact that there was going to be a kingdom program that Peter was talking about in Acts 9, and then later Peter talks about it over here in his first and second Peter. But they were talking about a kingdom. And I think Peter even mentions a priesthood. Kingdom of priest. You are a priest or a royal priesthood. But Paul gives us something different. He gives us a mystery that had not been talked about all the way through here in prophecy. It's a mystery. It's been kept secret since the world began. So it's pretty clear that's true. You can also read that in 1 Corinthians 1, and then 1 Corinthians 1 has a lot in it. Chapter 1, 17 and 18. And I'm a hurry. I'm really filling in for Terry tonight, so I might run over a little. Well, I hope Terry didn't hear me. Terry got pretty good. Got a lot better than I am about stopping from time. Anyway, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17 and 18, 1, 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize. You know, Paul's talking about his gospel here, and he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. You remember we talked about how important baptism was in the kingdom program? You know, John went out baptizing. Christ told his apostles to go out and baptize. And then Peter in Acts 2 and 3 is baptizing people. And then Paul comes along. He gets this revelation in Acts 9. And he's telling the folks that he's teaching, I wasn't sent to baptize. Something different. For Christ sent me not to baptize, to preach the gospel. And we already know that he got a gospel. Not with wisdom words, lest the cross of Christ be. For the preaching of the cross is to them perished foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. This gospel that Paul's preaching. To those that believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians 2, we see this a mystery. And again, it was kept secret. In verse 15, we get a clear picture. In chapter 15, we get a clear picture of the gospel that I think Paul got here at Acts 9, or at least between Acts 9 and Acts 13. He said, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He received the same thing he's telling them. And he probably received it in Acts 9, around Acts 9, 13, somewhere in there. I think at Acts 9, he probably got the full message at Acts 9 because he said he gave up. He knew he didn't have any hope except for Jesus Christ. He called him Lord. And he had been wrecking havoc with the church. Okay. Which I received, how that Christ died for our sins. And that's exactly what he talked about in Acts 13. He was buried and he rose again to 30. So that is the gospel. That is the mystery over here that was not revealed here in these verses, in this part of the Bible, all the way from the world began. But this message that Christ, there was going to be a kingdom, was preached from the very beginning over here. It was not kept secret. That's what it was all about. Okay? Now, I'll just give you some verses to look at that carry this forward. You can look at Colossians 1:27, how this was given to Paul. Ephesians 1:9. Ephesians 2:11-17. Ephesians 3, I want us to turn there. Ephesians 3 and verse 3. And he's speaking to the Gentiles. He's finally speaking clearly to us, those in our condition. How that by revelation he made known unto me a mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery, which in other ages was not made known. We talked about that, didn't we? Kept secret. Unto the sons of men is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophet by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus by the gospel. And Paul, as he was going out with his message, he was going to the Jew first, but he was also going to the Greek, which were Gentiles, but the Jews were still getting it first. The only way you could hear the gospel message at that point in time was to be blessing Israel, being identified with Israel. So it carried over a little bit, this idea of blessing Israel. But let's read further. Wherefore I am made a minister, in verse 7. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, and given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And to me who am blessed, the least of the saints, grace given to thee, that I shall preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's unsearchable. You can't find this in anywhere in here. And all through the Bible, you can't find it till you get over here. It's kept secret. And then to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus, to the intent now that the principality and power in the heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifest wisdom of God. What was hidden, God, is that people like you and me could be saved without identifying to Israel. It was not made known anywhere in Scriptures. Paul used the Old Testament, which they didn't see. Paul was explaining the Old Testament. It was a mystery. It was kept secret. It was there. But this thing about us Gentiles that weren't affiliated with Israel was hidden, God. Nobody knew it. No hint of it. You didn't have to be identified with Israel. So you didn't have to be identified with these people that all through the Bible were searching for a kingdom, waiting on a kingdom. In Thessalonians, we find out that we're going to be called out. This body, these folks that believe the gospel that Paul preached, are going to be taken up. And you know what Christ said was going to be preached after that happened? Y'all know what he said he's going to preach? Was going to be preached? Let's look at that real quick. Look at Matthew 24. The apostles are sitting there with him, and in verse 3 it says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming, of thy coming, and of the end of the world? What shall be the sign of thy coming? And it's talking about this coming over here. Christ comes down out of heaven to rule in a kingdom. Look on over, and it says, but he that shall endure to the end. It talks about a tribulation. That Peter was saying the time had come. He said, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. They thought at that time they were about to enter the tribulation. At that time. And they were gathering up the people. That's why he was preaching the gospel. Because before Christ came back, there was going to be this tribulation period before the king came. And that's what they were getting ready for. But what does Christ say about it? And he said, and he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that's what Peter was preaching when he said, until the times of refreshing shall come. You're going to get remission of sins until the times of refreshing will come, when Christ should come back. So you got to hold out. And that's what Christ is talking about here. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And he's talking about this time here, tribulation, and what they're going to preach. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it ties right back in, except for this parenthesis right here. And then we're going to find out that Christ is coming back to rule for 1,000 years after the tribulation period. And I'd like to get into all of that. Maybe that's another lesson. But if we look, that city, that holy Jerusalem, is coming down over here that was promised to Abraham. It's going to come down to Mount of Olives. It's going to set down right there. It's all just as clear as it can be, except for that parenthesis where Paul got that mystery. Look at Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24:29. And then look at Matthew 25 about the Gentiles and the sheep and the goats, how they were going to be separated at some point in the future. And look at Revelation 21 about the holy city, New Jerusalem. And there's a description of this city in Revelation 22. It's a land. It's not just a city the way we think of a city. It's 1,500 miles cube. It's going to set down in Jerusalem. And that's all I want to talk about tonight. I'm sorry I kind of run out of time, but maybe you saw the whole picture in this lesson.